Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I said to myself, I'd keep my emotions out of it, and I didn't even make it up here. Many people ask, what happens at the jail on a weekly basis? And that's some of the things I'd like to cover today with a short testimony about a lady. But I want to start off, I'm very thankful to each one of you to even have the privilege to be here. As I think back, right after I got saved, while I was incarcerated, I prayed something to God over and over and over. I just prayed, God, don't move me. Don't move me. Just let me stay here. And God didn't answer that prayer. I was in 12 locations in 11 months. And God was teaching me something. I had a fear of people. And to say it lightly, he's still working on me. So, but you know, it was, I don't remember the exact date, but it was about December, maybe the very end of November, first week of December is the first time that I ever came here. I've thought about this many times over the years. I believe my wife started coming here in June, somewhere in that time. And then I came along in December. And, of course, that's coming right up on Christmas and this entire body bought our family Christmas. And I never forgot that. I couldn't figure it out, honestly. Why would this group of people that don't know me but do know me, they know where I come from, shower our family with Christmas? And it, you know, what's the sign out there say? Loving God and loving people. Never forgot that. And so here we are. It's been 21 years later. And, you know, from the time that I got saved, I believe God pressed on my heart to serve my community. I felt like I'd hurt my community. I damaged it beyond just my immediate family. And yet I got a job in Lansing and then in Grand Ledge, and I worked there many, many years. And so I wrenched at home, and I thought that was maybe my way, my part of serving the community. And I didn't know that what God had planned, but I just had this desire. And then about, it was actually very early, I think in 2006, Pastor Larry asked me to come to the jail, just give a testimony. And I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I went there, and then I started going many, I think I finished the training in March of 2006, and been going in there pretty steady ever since. I didn't know, I had no idea that 13 years later, I'd be here today. As you go to the sheriff's office and you walk in the foyer, on the left side is a bunch of pictures. And there's, if I can quote them off, it's Sheriff Barnes, Sheriff Patterson, Sheriff Huffenagel, Sheriff Hanakow, Sheriff Hengish, Sheriff Kingus, and our current sheriff, Sheriff Larry Giroux. And I don't know all these sheriffs, but I know we have many sheriffs that's been supporting this ministry for a long, long time. And we wouldn't have a ministry there today without our current sheriff. He's very supportive of the ministry. We had a meeting this Friday night. I had talked to the sheriff really for the first time a week ago, just him and I kind of meeting. I told him that we were having a meeting, and he said, I'd like to be there. Kathy Jones has been working there 25 years, and she's going to take a break at least. And the sheriff wanted to be there to recognize her. He has an open door policy. And I know many people that have come through the doors come back, and he invites them right in the office he really cares about people. As I look at the jail ministry, really our community and our state, and I honestly believe our country, I come to a verse in Exodus chapter 20. I only have two verses today. The first one in Exodus, it says, in verse 4, it says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything, in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commandments." The sheriff stated, it's going to be an estimated this year that 4,200 people will come through the Clinton County doors. That's a huge number. I checked yesterday. We currently have 220 inmates. 183 are men, 37 women, over the last years, women population is on the rise. Approximately 89% of those incarcerated right now are from Clinton County. We hear many talk about we house from other areas of the state, and we do. But did some math, we believe about 89% are right here from this county. 27% of those are there on a violation, meaning that they've been there, they've left, and they're back either for a parole or probation violation, but a sequence of doing it over again. 8% are there on a CSC charge of some sort. And we know with the internet today, pornography is probably at an all-time high. They age anywhere from 17 to 70 years of age. About 68% of them, though, are 21 to 40 years of age. As God stated, you shall not have any idols. And as I think about idols, we live in a land of addiction. If I take a poll, I do it very often, honestly, it's 80 to 90% that come out to a class say they're addicted to something. With the belief that I think we look at idols in the sense that we're searching for peace, purpose, joy, to forget, all these kinds of things, and we, with the illusion that we can control this idol, and we can't control it. As I think about 220 people, and I don't know this number, but it's staggering. 220 with a mom and a dad, siblings, brothers, sisters, grandparents, children. Many, many of them there have children. I know some there right now. There's a man there with 8. He's been there for quite some time. So what do we do at the jail? We go in, we teach seminars. I wanted to break them out just a little bit, give you an idea of what happens. We have approximately 20 volunteers. We have pastors that go in every Sunday. So there's 8 to 10, depending on the month, services for the men and the women. We teach seminars, which, if I'm correct, Pastor Larry started all these seminars starting, I believe, in 2007. Our first seminar is Foundations. It's a 35-hour course. These courses are volunteered to come out. We study, we try hard to forget for a minute and come over where there's no God and come over here where there's a God is, and to try to take an honest look, what does the evidence, if we take a look at the probability, math, science, historical, archaeological evidence, we try to take an open, honest look, and I believe they come to the conclusion there is a creator. To start the foundation, we are bombarded as people with evolutionary thoughts. It's just become the norm today. and people have no idea there is a God. And we look at the evidence. We start to build. Eventually, we get away from there's no God. I believe the evidence points that God is very real. He's revealed himself in ways beyond we can even imagine. And he continues to reveal himself. And we start to look at the inspiration and the prophecy of Scripture and to build on truth. I'm sure if I asked a question right now, have you ever been told a lie and acted upon it? And we've been lied to over and over and over again. We look at that it's authoritative. Many there struggle with authority, the thoughts of authority, in rebellion, a rebellion against parents, rebellion against local, state, our countrywide authority. That the Scripture is reliable, it's trustworthy. God is the creator. We look at man's sinful condition and the struggles that we have over and over. Some will come for, there's some there that's been there pushing 2 years, a couple. Some will be there for a session. But we look at the emptiness of idols, things that we worship. I know that may seem strong, harsh, but someone that's been addicted to meth and heroin, they worship it. Life revolves around it, and everything else just follows if it follows at all. We look at the destruction that it causes themselves. I believe Satan loves to drive us to a place of isolation, a loneliness, be in a room full of people and be lonely. The destruction that it brings on family and the consequences that comes with it. Learning to see these idols for what they really are and not glorify them. You know, and as we think about these things, we start to learn, as God said, these things happen on to the third and fourth generation. These things become generational. Families, there's people there that learn truths and their whole family is caught up in addiction. And they go back to family and struggle. Or they go back and they have no place to go back. Our second seminar is Basic Life Principles. It's a 32-hour course. We trace surface problems. Many of these, I believe these problems are that are up here, the surface, are cause of root problems. A big one would be the principle of design, self-acceptance, people putting on a facade, trying to pretend like things are okay. And we work at those things, that they're constantly we work at. We're all unique to God for a purpose. And God makes no mistakes. We're all unique. Break down barriers that happen within the jail, even in itself. Understanding the 10 unchangeables, things that we can't change, our height, our color of our eyes, aging, our parents, siblings, death, our mental capacities, things that we can't change. We have a limit that we can go work in and out of, and we can study and those kind of things, but we have a mental capacity given to us by God. Why Christ came? What did he do? What did he accomplish? We talk about this all the time. I'm so thankful that I think of Sam Tolloyan comes in, and what a gifted man. And he's a great teacher. I think he's 99.9% of the time in teach mode. He just is. And if you know him, you know what I'm talking about. It's just who he is. That's what God made him to be. What is happiness? What is joy? Many just exist, just going through the motions day after day. What's life about? We learned how to resolve anger and bitterness towards others and towards self, that they might experience freedom. We talk about freedom a lot. There's many, many women and men out there right now that are free. Some for the first time. Transforming sources of irritations. Seeing things, as I mentioned, being moved 12 times in 11 months. I didn't want to be moved, but seeing that God has a purpose in all things. He has a plan. How to develop genuine love. What does God say about being a dad, a mom, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife? And understanding these eight callings. The first one is a design created by God and tearing down facades. The principle of authority, submitting to authority. God is a God of authority. Learning accountability, learning to be accountable. It's a big thing when you've been living a lie and doing deceptive things to just learn to be accountable, to be honest. God's ways are so different. We think if we confess our sins, the world will look down on us. Our families, it's just the opposite. We confess things and be honest. Our family looks up to us. Most of the time, I especially think of children, they know we're lying anyways. Right? They know. And then we lie to the ones we love. So we teach honesty, to be honest. Look at these things. Take it serious. Suffering. Learning to persevere, endure, and not have a morning of regret and be hit up by the accuser. Getting rid of bitterness of the past and guilt. Learning how to deal with it and not cope, but get rid of it. Ownership, the principle of ownership. Recognizing that we're a steward of what God's given. Jobs. Pastor Larry has said this over and over and over. One of our key jobs is to give hope. To give people hope. We just finished up an anger resolution, and many are angry over the thought of having to try to start over to give hope. What the principle of freedom, joy in Christ. I think many think that we're just going to live some bored life. Life has been so much more exciting. No regrets in the morning. Just a joy to learn to use time wisely. It's one thing we don't get back. They struggle with getting to seminar. Seminar starts at 8:30 in the morning. For some reason, our jail thinks if we stay up all night and sleep all day, time will go faster. They believe that. And so getting them out to a seminar in the morning, using time wisely. Use this time. Allow God to work. I tell them over and over and over, treat this as school. God wants to teach you to be different. Use it wisely. Don't waste it. Tearing down false ideas. It's a big, God wants to tear down the false ideas, the lies that we've told ourselves or been taught. Years ago, I was taught, I believe the false idea of energy. I was addicted to meth. And so a young couple got me into running. And I ran for a long time. You know what tore down the false idea? It wasn't the running that was exciting. It was the false idea that God tore down. With conditioning, you can do things. People think of caffeine in the morning. Who has to have their morning cup of coffee? Tearing down false ideas. Giving these things to God and asking him to take back ground that we've surrendered to Satan. To build character in their life. Learn to engraft truth. So when trouble comes, It's going to come. We have a foundation to stand on. When we go into marriage and family relationships, we spend a week on what does God say about marriage? Can relationships be restored? Something that happens, I think, I don't know on the outside, but on the inside, is putting God in a box. God, if you do this, I'll follow you. And God's given man a free will. Our spouses have a free will. And learning to follow God regardless of the circumstances. Let him work. We finish up that week. The next week we go on at being a mom and a dad, raising children. I think many times we think we're supposed to already know what to do. And you got men and women there that are there. You know, we can look at it in many ways, but it's an exciting time. We can learn about God together and grow. We seek that when they go home, over and over and over, to get in the body, to grow. God has given every one of them a talent to use for them or to use for God's glory. But to get involved in the body, to be lifted up and to lift up. We continue talking about honesty with our children, with appropriateness, depending on age, those kind of things. But be in your home. Learn to go home and cleanse it. Get rid of stuff that shouldn't be in your home. Following up with the forgiveness, one-on-one, or a phone call, and doing by mail last, because you can't. Everyone knows through a text, you don't get emotions, feelings, and all that stuff if you've been a text. Been texted, you can't tell. So do it person to person if you can. We go into anger resolution. It's a 25-hour course. Learning to get rid of anger, not manage it. Why would we want to manage something we don't want? And so to get rid of it, to bring resolution. These things take time and effort. Recognizing things that make us angry. Not changing its name. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just frustrated. Recognizing that anger is just revealed what comes in here. Learning to watch what comes in here through music and TV. We allow things into our home. We finish up with financial freedom. It's probably the least attended seminar that we do. I'm not sure why yet. I don't know if I'll ever know. If they think they just don't have any finances, I don't know. But we talk about many things. Can you restore a good name? He talks about these things during the seminar. Restoring a good name. Learning financial principles. Learning how to get out of debt. We cover things, how to fill out a resume, an application. How do you answer the question, have you ever committed a crime? It's a huge fear. How can you answer that question with honesty and opportunity? There's ways to do that. And we talk about those things. It's so discouraging for a man or woman to go home if they can't get a job and they can't start to rebuild. And then they lose that hope. Thought I skipped a page. And we do cover many, many things over and over and over. I already mentioned Kathy. Kathy, 25 years. I believe Pastor Larry's 32 years and counting. But Kathy's stepping down at least momentarily. During the Tom Harmon meetings, God brought another young lady here. I believe she's here today. Chelsea, she's coming in to working up to start working with the women. Kathy's daughter, Holly, is coming, has been coming in and is trained now to start working with the women. Eva and Peggy go in every week, every Friday morning, and do one-on-one with women. Pastor John does a Tuesday afternoon Bible study every week. During a seminar that we had, Peggy and I know Michelle and Bonnie were coming in. We were doing a women's seminar. And we had a lady come out. The first time she came out, I don't know how to say it, she was a wreck. She looked like a wreck. Her face looked like a wreck. She couldn't say words. She was a mess. And she was so bad, the other ladies sent a note up to me and said, excuse her, she's in and out of coherency. That's what they put on the letter. It's sad. But she kept coming. About 4 weeks later, she made a profession of faith in Christ. A few weeks later, Michelle, I know, did a one-on-one with her and said, this lady is smart. She's vibrant. She doesn't even look like the same person. God can do amazing things. He does do amazing things. Pastor Brendan and Melissa have started coming in. I don't want to forget anybody. I know Dean Gill fills in. Santos Garcia comes in when we have men there that speak Spanish, and he'll do Spanish Bible lessons with them. Logan and Kale and Jared have made spreadsheets. They've proofread my letters, get my spelling, my punctuation, all these things, trying to get me into the current century. But, you know, they catch stuff. I'm very slow at writing these letters. They catch stuff that I just don't catch, sentence structure and all those kind of things. You know, that's a blessing. They just, Kale did the math the other day on these statistics I gave you. He put it in a spreadsheet. The first time I was doing it on my own, he said, what are you doing? I said, I was counting them one by one, trying to figure out these statistics to give you. My mom's been great in Bible studies. We offer Bible studies. They do 10 Bible studies. They'll earn a leather Bible. It's very exciting. I tell you something that's exciting. A Bible study comes with a certificate. And for many people, including myself at the time, that was something of completion. I completed something. These people, many people, they've started so many things in life, have never completed it. It's a motivation, and it gets the truth into their hearts. And then we have advanced series. My sister Jane, we've been working very, very hard at a library. She works, I give her a book, a name, and she's on it to try to get the library so it's profitable. We're working hard at getting job skill books so they can study job skills and get excited about learning new skills with our Bible studies, our Bibles. Many, many people in the community have been donating Bibles as well and been on that hunt. As I think of the banquet coming up in October, Christmas at the jail, I know these things are coming off. They've been on me on the banquet for a few months. I used to, I don't even want to say this, but I got to. Pastor Larry, it's just a banquet. It's a big deal. I you don't understand how much work something is until you do it. And I'm just starting to do it. And it is a big deal. There's a lot of effort involved. And I can't thank Pastor Larry enough as well. I've bombarded him at times with phone calls. How do you do this? How do you do that? What do you do here? Why do we do this? Where's this? Over and over and over, and I can't thank him enough. And I hope I haven't missed anyone. You know, and to say that I think is a good thing. Not that I want to miss anyone, because that's just how many people are involved. to make something work right here in our own community. There's just a ton of people. That's a good thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 8, Paul says, "What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task," Paul says, "I planted the seeds, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow." God makes things grow. God's the one that does all the work. We get a chance. He continues to say, "The one who plants, the one who waters have one purpose. Each will be rewarded according to their labor." But it's God that makes things grow. It's exciting to that lady that I mentioned to you. It's exciting. If any of you remember Robert last year that spoke at the banquet? Got a good job, and he's got a new job now. He's in has his own home. He bought a car. He took his old car, and he gave it away to help someone else. I think that's just awesome. So that's what typically goes on. I didn't mention, and I'll finish up here. So we typically have a seminar Tuesday morning, Bible study Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday morning seminar. Thursday, we don't have anything during the day. Thursday night, Kathy, Holly, I'm not sure who's going to take Kathy's spot yet. I know Jan, Pastor John's wife, has mentioned going in. We'll do a Bible study Thursday night, which sets up the prep for the one-on-ones that Eva and Peggy do Friday morning. We do two seminars on Friday, morning and afternoon. We do a seminar Saturday morning, and then we go back to Sunday services. Friday afternoon, I usually do one-on-ones or any other time as needed that I can do that. So I thank each and every one of you for listening to my rant. I thank you that on top of that, all your prayers, all your concerns, your encouragement. Many of you have been very encouraging to me. Many days I've left there walking on air. Some things are ugly. Some days are hard. Some things are ugly. Some things are very joyous. So I thank you for giving me this opportunity to give you this update. I'd like to just pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you for, God, the privilege of being able to be up here. And Father, for each and every one here, God, I pray your blessing upon each one. And God, we've had many prayer requests. And God, we sure pray for Brian and his family. God, that you would strengthen them. Father, for our sheriff, God, the staff there, God, we thank you for each one of them. And Father, we pray your blessing upon them. God, I pray for our road patrol. God, that you'd give them wisdom and safety on the roads. Father, for the men and women there. God, we lift them up to you. God, we pray for their salvation, that they would come to know Christ. God, they'd know these truths. God, that you would build them up. God, to take these truths back to their families. God, that they would come to complete freedom over any idol, God, that's in their life. God, and worship the true God, you. Father, I thank you for this time. God, I pray your blessing upon. In Jesus' name, amen.